good morning, and we welcome you here today, and it's good to have you with us this morning, and looking forward to a special time together here today. As you'll notice in the bulletin there, if you were to open that up and look at the order of the service, you're going to see some things a little bit different there in the way things are going to happen this morning. We're excited to have a youth-involved, a youth-led time of worship here this morning, and we'll be hearing from our young people as they minister to us in song and in scripture reading and prayer, as well as sharing testimonies and being a part of our service. And then Steve Gilmore, our youth director, is going to be speaking this morning, and so all of it is looking forward to it, a great opportunity for us to really appreciate what God is doing in the heart and lives of our young people, and them have an opportunity to stand in front of you to give you faces and who they are and how it is that God is using them. And so a full morning this morning, and just grateful for this opportunity here today. In your bulletin, along with all of that, are several pieces of information. On the back table in the foyer, you're going to see these invitation cards. These are specifically for Easter, which, by the way, is in 2 Sundays. I don't know if you've caught that or not. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, and then the next Sunday after that is Easter Sunday. And so, celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and encouraging you to invite others. And if you are looking for a way to do that, this is a great way. So I hope that you'll pick up several of these, hand them out in your neighborhood, hand them out to your friends, even the enemy, the person you know they need Jesus. Amen. This is the thing to give to them. And so hopefully we can get the word out, letting them know that there is a church that cares for them and that we want to minister to their hearts. And so make sure that you stop by the table. There's also a few more of the invites for the Easter egg hunt. That is coming up on the 1st, and so appreciate all the work that has gone into that. Our young people have been instrumental in packing eggs and getting ready for that, many of them volunteering on that day, and then also the hard work that Jen and Sandy have been doing to get that organized. Appreciate the work they're doing. And so inviting others, encouraging them to be there, and we have well over, I would say, close to 3,000 if not 4,000 eggs, and so it will be an egg farm out there for a little bit, and then it's amazing how quickly they're gone. And so at any rate, hope that you'll take notice of that and be in prayer for that. Pray for the devotional that is shared. Pray for hearts to be open and receptive to the gospel. And also then as we build bridges into families, into hearts and lives. And so appreciate the work that has been going into this. Several other things there to make note of. I want to make sure that you're aware of our special giving projects, including Greater Grace, as we continue to raise funds for our building project. And there's some information there about some giving that, as a church, that we have given, and even without a lot of strong push for that. But at the same time, I do appreciate your faithfulness in cooperating and being a part of this ministry, and doing that not just by being here, but by giving and by sharing with our church and with each other. And so this is another way to do that as you're able to do so. Continue to pray for different ones. It's good to have with us Paulina, and I will not attempt to say your last name, but at the same time, Paulina's been with us in the past, and her parents are with us, and they're from Spain, and she is working with the ministry Source of Light, which is very familiar to us through the Stobbs ministry, and she's in our service this morning, so it's great to have her. It's good to see Steve Wingett here this morning, and others that are visiting, and so we just ask that you get by and greet them, and I hope that you'll get better acquainted with them as you have opportunity. I had a great opportunity to kind of hang out on Zoom with the Beaches in Germany, and great update from them, and amazing what the Lord is doing. And so just remember these different ones as you go through the days ahead, and hopefully remembering our missionaries who are serving in different parts of the world, and appreciate that. Continue to pray for our school. A lot of things coming up here towards the end of this calendar year. Several of our students are going to be in different trips. Our seniors are headed to Costa Rica, I think, next week. And so they're going to be gone for a few days, and then some other classes, and so be in prayer for that. There's a play that's coming up. There's graduation that's coming up. And so just remember our school, this, and the teachers, the administration, and pray for them through this time of the year. All right. Take note of the other things that are coming up as far as the calendar. By the way, there is a calendar in your bulletin. It's just not what you're used to looking for, but it's in there, and it is more of a condensed sheet that gives you the dates that you can put onto your calendar. And so this is a way for you to transfer that, significant dates and events that are happening, and so hopefully you'll take those. Some ones that we're praying for, and before Aiden Creed comes and reads a verse to us and opens us with prayer, there are some different ones that are listed here in your bulletin as for ones to pray for, and so I hope that you'll do that this morning. One that is not on there is Gavin Grimacki has traveled to Florida, and his grandfather, Robert Grimacki, many of you are familiar with him. You probably have read some of his material in the past, but he is not soon, he is not long to be with us here. Looks like the Lord is going to allow him to enter into heaven here soon. And so just be in prayer for the Grimacki family, and pray for Gavin as he's away, and ask the Lord to encourage them. Several others there that we've been praying for and continue to do so. It's been very encouraging to see the answers to prayer for little Malachi Grieve, and just continue to pray for his strength and improvement. Also, Ron and Renee, their family, the homegoing of Carissa, after many years of battling with a disease, and just thank the Lord for her time upon this earth that was long further than they ever expected, and the Lord was very gracious in that. And then also be in prayer for John Parshall. Some of you may have seen the announcement, but John was there visiting with family and had to perform CPR on his brother-in-law, and his brother-in-law didn't make it. And so it was a very intense moment there. And just pray for John, pray for his sister, and pray for the family through this time, if you would. Several others there that we're continuing to pray for, and just be reminded in our hearts to do so. Aiden Creed is going to come lead us in a verse this morning, and then he is going to open in prayer. So Aiden, you come right ahead. And the Lord encourage our hearts through the ministry of our young people, as well as those who work with them, and appreciate all that is going on here today. Thank you.
Good morning, church. Man, the congregation looks a lot bigger from up here. All right, I'm going to be reading from Psalms 96, 11 through 13. Let the heaven be glad and the earth rejoice. Let the seas and all that fills it resound. Let the fields and everything in them celebrate. Then all the trees of the forest will shout for joy. Behold, the Lord, He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his faithfulness. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for the rain that we've been getting the last few weeks. But I pray that spring will just come, that the air will just warm up. And I pray for sinuses and as pollen's coming, especially for Mr. Steve. And I pray that we can just enjoy worship together to praise you. In your name, amen.
Thank you, Aiden. I would invite you to stand with me as we begin this morning. You're going to hear joy and rejoicing in our scripture, in our singing, and also in the testimonies and message this morning. And we hope that you're encouraged as you sit here and listen, and the Lord encourages you through those things. So as we begin this morning singing, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Sing with us.
The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy. Joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord. joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Worship His holy name.
stars in heaven.
Oh, you set the stars in the heavens. You set the world into motion. Jesus, you
thank you that we can rejoice and sing for joy this morning because of what you have done in our lives, what you did through salvation, conquering death in resurrection. We thank you that you are here with us, you abide with us. Lord, thank you for your love and grace and what you continue to do in our lives. May you continue to work in our hearts as we listen carefully today to your word and to the testimony of people that love you. For it's in your son's name, Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. This morning I will be reading Philippians 4:4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice.
I'll say good morning again. Today I'm going to be talking about the joy we can find in Christ. Now the theme kind of for today is joy, and Steve's going to be talking about this more in his message, but I wanted to just kind of share a short little devotional, you could say. My question today is there something robbing your joy today? If there is something, which chances are that is the case for some of you today, why? Because when our full satisfaction or pursuit is found in God, we will be content in any circumstance, and our joy will be found in God. So I want to go to a passage found in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. You can open your Bibles. Now this passage setting is Paul speaking to the Philippians in Philippi, and he's talking about their love and generosity that they have shown him, because Paul is currently in prison. So in verse 10 it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked an opportunity to act. Not that I speak from need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of abundance and suffering need." Paul says, not that I speak from need, or another way you could put this is, not that I speak from want. This point directs our attention to the fact that Paul needed nothing but God in his life through any circumstance. And the word content found in verse 11 means in the Greek to be satisfied or self-sufficient, or content in the same word also translated to sufficiency. This contentment Paul speaks of in Philippians is an independence from every need in life other than God. In verse 11, Paul says that he has learned to be content in whatever circumstance he is in. So do you have joy throughout all the moments you experience? Do you have the joy that sets you apart, which we are called to be in this world, where you're walking the streets and you can tell that this person is different? There's something about them. It's shown even on their outward appearance. Do you have that joy today, and do you want it? The contentment Paul found was found only in Christ, not anything found in this world that the world offers. The question about what we are pursuing in life determines why there is a dissatisfaction and robbery of joy in our hearts. So I'll ask you again, what is being put above God? If you're here today seeking Jesus and all that he has for you, that he has graciously given to you, keep going and put yourself around others who encourage you and push you to continue seeking the joy and fulfillment found in Jesus and him only. But to the people here today who have never accepted Jesus' free gift of salvation, or who are Christians but are not seeking Jesus with their whole heart, what is holding you back from experiencing the fullness of God? No one will find eternal joy and satisfaction from the things of this world that by nature our flesh want to seek. So go chase after the sin. Go chase after the world's attempts at meaningfulness. Go chase after the moments that last for a small temporal time that bring temporal satisfaction, which vanishes like a vapor. I can tell you that I pursue the things of this world. And I can tell you from my own personal experience within the past 5 years of my life, I found no eternal joy. I found only more despair that this world could not help with. It could not fix. Many of us know that what we are pursuing will not bring us any contentment or joy. And yet we still pursue the things that we put above God. Wake up. Jesus is calling us to follow him with all of our hearts, all of our strength, all of our might. Not being captive to this world, but being free in Christ. Not being half in the world and half in Christ. You're either running to God or away from him. You can't stand still. I pray that all of you will make an individual choice to choose Jesus over your pride and your sin. And I pray that you want Jesus more than anything. If you want Jesus more than anything, what does that look like? What does it look like to stop pursuing fleshly desires that are manifested in this world and pursue Jesus, who is rich in mercy and abounding in steadfast love? What does that look like? It looks like us looking up to Christ and dropping the things we cling to that we put above God,
It is me saying, Jesus, you are above everything else in my life. Lord, save me from my pride and my flesh. Lord, save me from my lust. Lord, save me from the things I put above you. Lord, save me from the sin I am pursuing. Lord, save me and forgive me. Take my heart and let it be yours. Wake up and let Jesus carry you through life, completing your joy. Christ will never starve you. I've not seen one Christian in my life, and I've only lived 18 years. I've not seen one Christian who was pursuing God fully with all of his heart, all of her heart, and he or she was still hungry. He will feed you if you come and seek him. And he will love you from where you stand today. Let's look back at verse 12 again. Paul says, I know how to get along with little, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Paul was content in highs and lows of life, not because he was perfect, but he understood what was important. He understood that Jesus was the only means to salvation. He was the only means to true joy and satisfaction. Jesus is the answer in this joy and contentment we seek. He cannot be pursued while our hearts are still chasing after our own desires. So what are you clinging to today that is above God? When God is supreme in our hearts, our joy is made complete in him. Our contentment is found in him. When we let God rule in our hearts, God leads us through every moment we face in life, and I'm so thankful for that. That I don't have to face the hardships of life without God, because I could not do it on my own and I would not be satisfied. I'm so glad that the God of the universe is right beside me. So let the Spirit of God shape your heart and mind, and let your life be made completely satisfied through his gracious sovereignty. A joyful and content life is found in God, and life without God is impossible. None of you, I can't. None of us can do it. I found the most joy and satisfaction within the past 2 years of my life than the many years of chasing after the sin of this world. Jesus led me to joy through him. The world only led me to depravity, confusion, and desperation for more satisfaction. So who is leading your life? Is it you or is it God? I pray that it's God today. Wake up and choose Christ tonight. If you have already chosen God and as the ruler of your life, keep going. Be encouraged through engaging in the word, through prayer, through discipling. Be encouraged. Encourage others who are lost to find joy in Christ, not the vanity that they seek. And I pray that all of us here today, will find our joy and contentment in Christ, who sustains all of our needs. Thank you. Steve Gilmore.
Morning, church. You get the joy of hearing my voice 2 weeks in a row, so I hope you're ready for that. Allergy season is upon us, so if I stop for a second and get a drink, please don't be offended. I didn't have allergies till I moved down here, so didn't know what those were. Welcome to Chattanooga, right? Today, I'm going to be doing something a little bit different. What I like to do is, and I think is good practice in sharing the Word of God, is picking a passage and going through it verse by verse, or picking out the theme of what it's talking about. So today I'm doing something a little unfamiliar with something I don't normally do. And the last couple weeks, when I knew that this was happening, first of all, you can thank Jency Pimentel. He's the one that suggested I speak today, and Pastor Adam, I guess, thought it was a great idea. So if it's bad, you can blame both of them, guys. But over the last couple years, the Lord has really been working in my heart in this area of joy or rejoicing. And And so I started doing a study of it. Now, what today I'm going to be talking about is really just the tip of the iceberg on a word study of joy and rejoicing. I mean, you could spend countless hours going over the original language and the many different words associating the idea of happiness, joy. See, I always grew up hearing that, you know, happiness was separate and different than joy. Well, there is a component of happiness in joy and rejoicing. The fact that today we live in such a feelings-based culture, we base everything off of how I feel. Well, I feel. So when circumstances happen, when life is tough, we tend to focus on the feelings behind it. And as Christians, if you are in here and you are a Christian, guess what? You have joy. We're going to look at. And I hope that we will weigh everything up to the truth of Scripture and see what is right. David Mathis of DesiringGod.org said this: "Our Heavenly Father is not indifferent to our happiness. Joy is not a garnish on the dutiful entree of the Christian life. Joy is the icing, is not the icing on our cake, but an essential ingredient in a complex batter." So for the sake of this morning, I'm going to really be kind of focusing and talking about the idea of joy or rejoicing based on a couple of the words we find in the New Testament, Greek. And because I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm not going to attempt to pronounce those words. I will butcher it, and we just don't need that. But the first thing I want us to look at is nations and nature rejoice. In Psalm 67, verse 4, all the nations are told to rejoice. As Aidan read earlier in Psalm 96, 11 through 13, even nature itself rejoices. I was driving the other day and was thinking of this this passage, and I had sent this ahead and had told Aidan that I would like him to read this. And I was driving down a really long stretch of road, and I was looking at the trees all along. And I just started to think about how cool is it that so much in nature is pointing upward. The grass, the trees, the mountains. And I just started thinking of this passage and thinking how neat is it that if we were to hear a glimpse of what was being said, now Psalm 96, 11 through 12, let the heavens be glad and the earth rejoice. And just as nations and nature rejoice, in the Old Testament, God's chosen people found their joy in Him and rejoiced. All throughout the Old Testament, as I was looking through this, all throughout the Old Testament, words describing different things for rejoicing, rejoicing in weddings, rejoicing when an enemy was conquered, all these different words, things associated with joyfulness, being joyful, being glad. And I came across this passage, Habakkuk chapter 3. And now anytime we're reading scripture, I think it's important we understand the context. So I don't want to just cherry pick things and fit it to my own interpretation. I want to say, okay, what was Habakkuk talking about here? Well, he's thinking over and recounting the evil and the things of his day. And he says, though the fig tree does not bud and there is no fruit on the vines, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no food, though the flocks disappear from the pen and there are no herds in the stalls, yet I will celebrate or take joy in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Notice the circumstances, but also notice the attitude. Notice the action. I will celebrate. I will take joy. I will rejoice. Okay, now you say, well, that was the Old Testament. You say you were going to talk a little bit about the New Testament. And guess what? We as Christians today in the New Testament and the church today are to have joy. Same thing. We are to have joy and be rejoicing. We as God's children today have joy through Jesus because of what he did for us. Lexham Bible Dictionary says this: joy, it is expected of Christians because it is the natural result of having received salvation. The joy comes on account of what Christ has done, irrelevant of what other circumstances are happening in one's life. This joy, we know from Galatians 5, 22 through 23, is part of the fruit of the Spirit, given to us by the Spirit. So if you are in here and you say, I am a follower of Christ, I am a new creation, I am a Christian, you have joy. Well, maybe your joy, maybe the fruit of the Spirit really needs to grow a little bit. Maybe you're having a tough time remembering and rejoicing in what Jesus has done for you. Rest in that. Take a moment and think. I once was lost, but now I am found. Just take a moment to think about that. I was once lost, but now I am found. What a great thing to remember what he's done for us. His Spirit gives us this joy. It's real joy. It's not the stuff that the world pushes on us and produces. That only brings temporary happiness. So we know that nature, nations, we know that the old people, or the Old Testament in the old days, they were to rejoice. We as Christians have joy and are to rejoice. But we only do that based on what's going on in our life. No. Joy or rejoice even when it's tough. James 1:2 says, consider it a great joy, my brothers and sisters, when you experience various trials. No doubt James was more specifically talking to the Jewish people spread about facing persecution. But I appreciate that the language implies, as you look at this, various. And well, that means different things to different people. And while we here in the U.S. may not face persecution, we may not face the kinds of things others in other countries do, God still cares about our difficult times. God still cares about what we're going through. It's more than a feeling. It's choosing of an attitude. I always think of that song when I think more than a feeling. The circumstances may be bleak. The job may be lost, your health may be in question, your relationships may be suffering, but will you rejoice in the God of your salvation? Notice, and again in Habakkuk, the situation, the circumstances, but notice the response and the attitude. As William read earlier, we are to rejoice. This is a command. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It was so important that Paul said it twice. And then he goes into the next several verses. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Is that the heart's natural thing to do when all of the bad things in life come at us? Stop. Rejoice. Hey, no. Rejoice. And then, oh, by the way, let your graciousness be known. The Lord is near to you. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We don't pray. And I am not talking to just you here today. I'm preaching to myself here. The God of peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We won't understand it. The world won't understand it. But we can have that peace. Rejoice in him. We rejoice in him for what he has done. We have salvation in Christ. Church, that is a reason to rejoice. We rejoice because we have hope. We have a future hope. Romans 12:12 tells us to rejoice in hope. We have a confidence of an expectation that will be fulfilled. We will spend eternity with him someday. What an awesome, awesome reminder. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul is discussing again, he's talking about this future hope, the day of the Lord, and he's encouraging the church there to keep on doing good and to what? Rejoice. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 8, though you not see him, you love him. Though not seeing him now, you believed in him and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy. inexpressible and glorious joy. Peter may have marveled at those who didn't see Jesus but still followed him. And we can have this inexpressible and glorious joy. If you read these passages that I'm talking to you about, 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 Peter, Philippians, there is this theme of suffering. They were under persecution, and the encouragement is to rejoice in the face of all that is happening to you. So what keeps us from growing in our joy and rejoicing? And as I was thinking through this, I think we can boil it down to really one thing, but it kind of takes root in a couple different ways. Sin. Sin can keep us from experiencing true joy. It could be blatant sin, secret sin that you're hiding. David in Psalm 51 penned this after he was confronted with his sin. His friend comes to him and says, "Hey, you are that man." And after this, he writes in verse 11, he was broken over a sin. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." It is possible that you could be here today and you are weighed down by your own sin. And that just seems to be emptying you of your joy, draining your fruit, is just withering up. Don't carry it any longer. Give it to him. Give it over to him. Or maybe you're like me, and the way it kind of takes root is this may not necessarily be this big, like, secret thing you're trying to hide or this big sin that you're struggling with your life. It could be that just life starts to beat you up and you slowly just lose focus of what God has done in your life and you become completely consumed with what is happening in your life. And this is me. I said earlier that I wanted to talk about this idea and concept of joy and rejoicing because this is something the Lord has been teaching me for several years. And I kind of had a light bulb moment several weeks back. And so I'm going to just share. I realize a lot of you probably don't know my testimony, know me a lot. I know a lot of you, but may not know my story and things. So I'm just going to share a little bit about why this whole concept of joy and everything is important. Because and I'm going to talk in a minute here about why that's applicable for our youth. And so the Lord is really growing me and my wife and our family in this idea of joy. And so maybe you're like me and you kind of just, you lose sight of what's important, what really matters, and you just can be completely consumed by what's surrounding you. So a little bit about me. I grew up in a Christian home. And I would say life was overall a good upbringing, but there were many things that I witnessed my parents' family go through that I could see their joy evident. We had, there's kids in here, so I won't go into great detail, but people that did not worship Jesus, but they worshiped somebody else, were doing that on our farm. I grew up on a farm. As a result, we had many things happen. Our house burnt down as a kid. 5 years old, our house burnt down. I remember that. My mom had 4 miscarriages. My dad, several years later, he got cancer. We almost lost our farm due to financial ruin. Again, I'm not saying these things to say, oh, Steve's got it all figured out now and nobody goes through problems like Steve. We all, no doubt, I know people in here have faced many, many difficult things. But the Lord has allowed me to go through these situations in life to share what he's done through them. And so we almost lost the farm to financial issues. We could all relate to this one in some sense. We had a tornado come and destroy half of our property on our farm. No, I am not a bad omen. Don't say that I brought that here. But that's my parents' story. What about me? I could see their joy. I could see their faith evident and strong and growing. But I had to get to a point where it was not my parents' faith. And I think a lot of kids grow up in a Christian home and they try to ride the coattails of their parents. Well, my parents go to church. I go to church. I'm a Christian. No, I had to experience the joy of Jesus for myself. And at 22 years old, God saved me. I was living this lie that I was saved, and that I was, and yet I was truly lost, chasing the joy of the world, you could say. You could ask anybody in my youth group here today to tell they could tell you the story of my eBay addiction back in the day. It's kind of comical now, but it was a real thing. I was chasing after the pursuits of different things, and that was one of the things that I kind of had fallen into. But now I have joy. I'm a Christian. I'm a Christ follower. I have this joy of Jesus. But guess what? When you declare that you are a believer, you know you are saved, and you declare the good news, and you say you believe what the Bible says, you will be tested. Do I really believe what I say I believe? Life didn't magically get better and become easy because I became a Christ follower. Hear me out. Life problems don't just go away. I think most of us in here really truly understand that. Life problems don't just go away when we become Christians. So my wife and I, our life begins together. And again, I would say life has been overall good. But what is my basis of joy? Is it because I would consider life being good? Is that why? Well, I haven't had bad things happen to me, so I'm good. And so early on in our marriage, between our second and third child, we had a miscarriage. First real big heartache of our life together. And the Lord used that to draw us closer together. We started praying together. We started becoming one just more. In my early 20s, after, again, we're in our life, starting our life out together, one of my closest friends passes away from cancer. Oh, man, will the Lord use that in my life to help me realize what's important? And the testimony of my friend helped me know, okay, this is what it's all about, serving and living for God. At 30 years old, and this one's kind of minor, but for a guy who likes to play sports and do things, I ended up having to have a back surgery at 30 years old. Getting a phone call one day that my father was run over by a tractor. Now, many of you have met my father, and the Lord saved him, literally a miracle. The Lord physically, like there was no major life-threatening injuries over being run over by a tractor, a miracle. Moving here and having COVID hit and the campus and all of that, getting a phone call that, hey, you need to come back home. Your mom's not going to make it. To many of you being along the journey that we've just gone through the last several months, I wasn't going to do this, but apparently I am. And so my wife's very difficult pregnancy and seeing how the Lord worked all of that out for his glory. And my son's few rocky days in the NICU and his stay there for several weeks. And time and time again, I look out and I'm focusing on the bad situation. I'm looking and I just completely lose sight of what it's really about. And so I started to use this phrase, I'm just trading anxieties. One thing God walks me through. He either walks with me, sometimes it feels like he's carrying me through, and then I find the next problem to have anxiety or fear over. And I completely lose track, and usually my wife or somebody else will kind of have to say, hey, God's always taking care of us. He's going to take care of us still. So finally, one day, several weeks back, I just cried out and said, God, I can't keep doing this. Tune my heart to yours. My Jesus is good. He loves me, and no matter what happens, he will take care of me. And if at the end of the day, all I have is Christ, then I have everything I need. So why do I share this? As I said, I wasn't going to cry, but apparently I'm just going to do that. So you all know I'm a blubberer. So why do I share this? Well, Young people are searching. We know the world is searching, but specifically young people, the generation right now is searching for something. They are searching for joy. They are just finding it temporarily in what the world is offering. Pew Research did a study from 2007 to 2017. Teenagers who recently experienced depression increased 59% between those years of 2007 and 2007. We're in 2023. It's even higher now. I want our teens to know the joy of Christ and reach their generation with the gospel. Teens need to know the joy of Christ for themselves. Like I said before, many kids grow up in a Christian home, just like myself, kind of trying to ride the coattails of mom and dad's faith. It doesn't work that way. Kids, teenagers need to come to realize and put their faith in Jesus, and that is where their joy resides. Christ is our joy. He provides our joy. He is the center of it all. When this is understood by a young person, or anyone really for that matter, they get it. When they find Jesus and experience his joy, they are motivated and on fire. They don't let the circumstances of life bring them to ruin. They don't get distracted by the offers of the world. Matthew 13:44, Jesus is talking in a parable, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Now, we can't buy our salvation, so if you know Jesus teaching in parables, but when someone finds Jesus, when it's no longer hidden, when the Holy Spirit illumines and they realize, they will sell everything, and they will pursue after him. Also in Luke 15, Jesus is teaching about joy over lost sinners being found. I want our young people to have a heart that is burdened and broken for their sin and the sin of their generation, and have a desire to reach their generation. We all should have that heart's desire. We should all be joyful when a lost sinner is found. When young people are broken over their sin and the sin of their generation, they are willing to serve him. And when they get it, there is action. There is a difference in their life. So that is why we give opportunities for serving up here. This is why we meet weekly. This is why we even have activities for fellowship. This is all to encourage and to promote and push our young people towards Christ. I know youth groups can get a lot of negative flack for, you know, just trying to be, you know, fun and not do anything. But there really is a reason. There's really a heart just behind it for me, that I want our young people to come together. I want them to fellowship, be encouraged, and go out on fire to reach their world. Church, we have teens that get it here. We have teens that have the joy of Jesus. We have teens reaching their classmates in school and pushing them towards Jesus. We have teens serving as volunteers in ministries during the summer here in Away. Aiden will be going to Alaska for the entire summer. I believe William, who read, will be serving in child evangelism fellowship this summer in town. We have teens reaching their generation. We have teams. We have teens reaching their teammates on sports teams. We have teens going on missions trips this summer. We have teens giving of their time in nursery and kids ministry. We have teens that lead Bible studies. Church, let's come along our teens. Let's keep discipling them. Let's keep pushing them towards Jesus. And let's be a church that loves teens and encourages them and loves them. Let's experience the joy of Christ. Let's rejoice together for what he has done, because at the end of the day, it's all about him. Like I said before, if at the end of your day, all you have is Christ, then you have everything you need. Thank you.
Good evening. I would like to make a sincere thank you to, you know, all of you guys for giving us Grace Student or Youth Ministry this opportunity of coming here and presenting the gospel. giving our message and just running this service. Would you bow with me in prayer?
Dear Lord, come to you today. Thank you so much for everything that you have done. Thank you for knowing that we were once lost and now we have been found. Really just come to you today, pray for the many who are healing and who needs health needs in our community. We're so thankful for all that you have done and are continuing to do. We, you know, our hearts and our prayers go out with those around our country and around the world. We pray for Ukraine, we pray for the Dominican Republic. We pray for the many tornadoes that have struck many states here in Tennessee and around in neighboring states, Lord. Pray that even though that we may feel like we are dead in our sin, let us not forget the words that you have given us, that your grace is sufficient for us and your power is made perfect in weakness. Thank you for having all of us and just giving us your son Jesus to die on that cross, that through your mercy and our faith that we might be saved. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the service. I pray that you'll bless the rest of this day. In your name I pray, amen.
Thank you, Keen. Let's stand together and we're going to sing a song of closing as we've had opportunity to hear from many of our youth. And I hope that you'll take a moment before you leave today to encourage them, to say a word, to introduce yourself, to remind your heart to pray for our next generation, and that the Lord would continue to allow us to reach into the lives of these young people. And I hope that our hearts will sing in rejoicing and grateful for the work that Christ has done. Let's sing the song as we make ready to close here this morning.
Yeah.
thank you, Steve, and the youth this morning, and all of our musicians. Thank you so much for your work and preparation for this. And thank you so much for the word that we can go to and we can find the joy and we can rejoice in what God has done and is continuing to do for us as a church body. Lord bless you. Hope you have a great rest of the day. We'd love to for you to join us in the fellowship hall for a brief time of greeting and meeting and greeting. And so if you're visiting with us, please feel free to go back there with us right through these double doors and into the fellowship hall. Lord bless you.